Remember Brother Bishop Webb talking about the dam was about to break?
Yes.
I believe that every week the leak in the dam is getting a little wider and a little stronger.
Yes.
But I want you to know right now that hell is on the assault. Hell is making its plans, and hell is doing its best to stop the flow of God's power, glory, and anointing in our lives. I was thinking as the kids were singing, and when you reach my age, you can call the middle-aged kids. Well, I was thinking as they were singing, Chris, there is nothing in this world that you can allow to break the flow of that anointing. Larry, Teresa, praise team, choir, there is nothing in this world. You cannot allow the devil to break the flow of the anointing in our lives. The Spirit of God has moved in this revival and brought us to a new level. But it is imperative that you keep the wells cleaned out and keep the flow of God's Spirit moving in our hearts and our lives. So with that being said, if you turn with me to the book of Psalms chapter 46. Psalms chapter 46. I'll try to get into this and make it as plain and as fluent as I can. And I know that I'm lacking, but what I'm lacking, I depend upon the Holy Ghost to make up the difference. In Psalms chapter 46, beginning at verse number 1. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. And thank you all for worshiping the Lord, our praise team, our musicians. Thank you all so very much. And thank each one of you for entering into the worship and giving God praise. But can I tell you today, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
I said the best is yet to come.
Amen.
If I could title the message today, it would be, there is an oasis in the midst of your dry places. Can I tell you also that the dam is about to break and the hole is getting wider and bigger and the flow is working more and more. But I want you to be aware of today that there are spirits in our world today that is doing its best to hinder and stop the flow of God's Spirit, God's glory, and God's anointing in your life. It's real.
Yes, it is.
It's real. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river.
Yes.
I could stop and preach right there.
Yeah.
For at least an hour and a half.
Yes.
Listen, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get past that. There is times in your life when troubles come.
Yes.
It is like two rivers coming together and the turbulence are absolutely taking havoc on your life. There are times of mountains, they shake and they tremble, and our lives seem to be like they're out of focus, and your equilibrium's all messed up, and you can't seem to get your footing, and it seems like that you just can't seem to get it all together. He said in verse number 4, but there is a river.
Yes.
Hear me, church, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of our tabernacle of the Most High. And God is in the midst of her. Somebody say, He's in the midst. He is in the midst of her. And he and she shall not be moved. And God shall help her. And that right early. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I don't think you've got it yet, but the Holy Ghost is fixing to slap you upside the head and tell you that He is in our midst. The river's flowing, church. I just come by to tell you today that the river is flowing. The dam is about to break. And as I've already said several times, the leak in that dam is getting bigger and bigger. And how many knows that the bigger that the hole gets, the weaker the whole structure gets. And the dam's about to come down and the river from the heavens is about to overflow this place. Can I tell you, the river shall be flowing through you. It should desperately and essentially be flowing through you, through from the essence of revival that we have just experienced. You cannot allow that to slip away from you.
Yes.
Amen. Church, we must walk in the flow of the river of God.
Amen.
Yes. Minister. We must minister through the flow. There is nothing in this world like the river of God. I can tell you from experience, I've been to concerts where they sing for the entertainment. And I have been to concerts where they have sang under the anointing. And I will tell you, I'll go back to the anointing before I go to the entertainment. There is nothing in this world. I thank God. I said, I thank God. I don't care what our town thinks about Pentecost. I don't care what they think about the Holy Ghost. I don't care. I already know. I've experienced. I don't care what they think about the anointing. I've already experienced that. And when Brother Chris, the praise team, sings under the anointing, we cannot afford to stop the flow. We must allow the river of God to saturate this place. What you've experienced in revival, you cannot stop. You cannot let it break through other than the Spirit of God breaking through. The enemy cannot break through. There's nothing like the river of God.
Amen.
We must, hear me, we must get in the current. Some of you like to wade around in the edge of the river where there's not much turbulence or there's not much current, but I assure you today it is imperative for each one of us to get into the current. And when each one of us get into the current and that dam breaks, there is nothing in this town. There's going to be people running to this place because they know where their healing is going to come from. They know where their deliverance is going to come from. Hear me today, church. It's not what we do, but it's because of who He is. But it's because that we're in the flow and we're moving in the flow. We're moving in the anointing. We're walking in the glory of God. We're walking in the power of God. Again, it's not because of us, but it's because of Him. But you've yielded yourself to allow the flow of the river of God to flow through you. And listen, if it flows through you, it must flow out of you. I'll probably say this again, but if your river flows in you and doesn't flow out of you, you become stagnated and you stink. The river must flow out in you and out of you. I remember distinctly going to the Bitterroot Valley, and you all have heard my story probably more than you want to. But that was one of my life goals, is to go to the Bitterroot Valley of Montana and fish in the river there, the Bitterroot River. And we was there in late spring. One of the guys there, he was fishing in the river. I assure you, it wasn't much deeper than this in most places, but the current was so strong, I could hardly stand on my feet. It was like you had to brace yourself to fish as you was there in the river. The current was so strong. Come on, somebody, listen to me. Preach with me this morning. I said the current was so strong. And as I got just barely in the edge, you could fish a little better. But it wasn't like stepping out into the current to where it almost pushed you over. Can I tell you today, church, the Spirit and the power of God has been so real in this place the last month that we need to make sure that we stay in the current and we allow the flow of God to come into our lives and flow out of our lives. Allow God's Spirit to move and motivate us. We must, beyond anything else, rebuke every spirit, every power of hell, and tell the devil, he has no place in my life. You have no place in this church. I refuse to allow you to take a stronghold in this place, Satan, because we are flowing in the river of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. God has a river that should be flowing through you and in your life. And you can rest assured that Satan has set a defense. Hear me today, church. Young person, listen to me. Hear me, mom and dad. Hear me, grandma and grandpa. Satan has set a defense against you to stop that flow, to dam up the river, and to keep you from operating in the flow of God. With God's Spirit flowing into you, there must be a river flowing in you and out of you. If not, the water becomes stagnant. No matter where you're at, God's Spirit needs to flow in you and out of you.
to the eating places.
Listen, nobody needs to allow it to flow in you and not flow out of you, because you don't want to be called a stinker.
Amen.
Verse number 3 of chapter 46, and I mentioned it again, but I didn't sense that you got it. You got to get it. The waters thereof roar, and we are troubled on every side, even the Bible says, but not in distress. There's things in our life that just seems like that it stops the flow, and it seems like it distracts us. And how many times have we come to church and the Spirit of God's moving, but circumstances in our life just seems like it's so overwhelming that we can't get our mind and we can't get our thoughts, and we just can't move into the Spirit of God. What can I tell you today? That it is imperative that you step out. No matter what you got to do, step out and get into the current of Almighty God. Let Him wash away all the troubles. Though the waters roar, there is a river, there is a stream whereof shall make the glad the city of God. How many knows that God wants you to be happy? God don't want you to run around like you've been sucking on a jar of sour pickles. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to enjoy life. Even in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of when things ain't going good, He said there's still a river.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
Where the streams thereof make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of that place, this place, church. I said God is in the midst of this place. We cannot allow the enemy to dam up our flow that God is putting in and through our lives. Don't get quiet on me down.
Amen.
Psalms chapter 36, verse number 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reach into the clouds. You make me nervous when you get this quiet. I ain't afraid of nothing. Come on, somebody. The mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and the faithfulness reach into the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountain. Oh, come on, somebody. You better get ready for this. The judgments are great deep, O Lord, that preserveth man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of man put their trust under the shadow of thy wing. Therefore, the children of God and the children of man put their trust under the shadow of thy wing. Thou shalt be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thine house, and thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasure. Come on, somebody, worship God. God wants you to be happy and enjoy your salvation. My, thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasure. It's a pleasure in serving God. It's a joy in serving Jesus Christ. It ought to be happy when somebody looks at you and says, you go to that Holy Roller Church out there on 59. Hey, I know in whom I believe and whom I trust. And I know this is real. You've come too late to tell me that the Pentecostal feeling is not real, because it's biblical. And the feeling is more than just feeling. It's a river that flows from the throne of God. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of pleasure. For with thee is a fountain of life. The song we were singing about a while ago talked about life.
Yes. Yes.
It is a fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. In your light we will see light. He will lighten our path. Can I tell you today, church? If you're hungry and thirsty with the right spirit, even in the midst of your dryness, you shall drink from the rivers of God with pleasure. Listen to me this morning. Something is a breaking loose. The dam is crumbling and the water is breaking loose. Can I tell you today, will you go with the flow? But it's not just any flow, it's His flow. Can I tell you, it's not just any flow. A lot of people want to go with their flow, but I'm talking about going with God's flow. It's not my will, it's not my flow, but it's God's flow. And we can't just go any way we want to, but we got to go with God's flow. That river I was fishing in the Bitterroots up in Montana, if you tried to walk upstream, you wouldn't get very far, but it's a lot easier walking downstream, going with where God's going. Oh, come on, somebody. You got to go where God's going. He talks about the rivers flowing out of you. And if it flows out of you, it's got to be flowing in you. Amen. He wants you to enjoy life. How many knows that God wants you to enjoy life? Huh? It's not a drudgery serving God. It's not a drudgery or a sadness to be Pentecost. There ought to be something glowing on the outside of us because there's a river flowing in and out through us. You should have pleasure in serving and worshiping Him. I don't know for sure if you realize it or not, but you sure look like you was enjoying yourself worshiping God. And did you know that you can do that 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, no matter where you're at? Some of you look like that was a surprise to you. No, you don't have to just be in the house of God, even though you need to be in the house of God. But Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you need to allow the Spirit of God to move through you and out of you and allow God's Spirit to exhilarate from your life. People, when you go to the store or wherever you're going to or out to eat, that they need to look at you wondering what you're up to because you're so happy in Jesus. Yes. That's what's in you. And then you need to share with them why you're so happy. That's going out of you. One of these days, I'm going to get this message right and I'm going to preach it good. I promise you. The joy. Joy in our lives where the spiritual water is flowing in and flowing out. It is absolutely imperative. I don't want you to think that I'm overly reacting to what the devil's plan is, but I want you to be aware of it.
Yes, right. His tactics.
The devil's second name back in the Old Testament was the Philistines. Hear me?
Yes.
Well, I ain't never heard that before. Probably going to hear a couple more things you ain't ever heard before. But Isaac, after daddy died, Abraham, he went back to the country where they were, and Isaac departed thence in Genesis 26. And he pitched his tent down in the valley of Gar, and I think that's how you pronounce it. And Isaac digged again the wells. That means if he dug them again, that means something had stopped him up. And the Bible tells us, for lack of time, the Bible tells us that the Philistines, because they hated the things of God, they hated the Jews, they hated Abraham because he was a child of God and God was moving through him, they stopped up their wells. Can I tell you that back then, the water wells was very, very essential. It wasn't like you couldn't just go to the house and turn on the faucet. The tents did not have plumbing yet. Okay? It was, you mess with my well, you're messing with my life.
That's right. Come on, Pastor. Come on.
Hello, somebody.
Come on.
Spiritually, you're messing with my well, you're messing with my life.
That's right.
And I ain't going to let you mess with my spiritual well. And devil, you ain't messing with my spiritual life.
Come on.
I said, devil, I'm paying you a notice today. You're not messing with my spiritual life. This is God's church.
Hallelujah.
This is God's house.
God.
As long as I'm here and there's breath in my body, breath coming out of my lungs, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to fight the devil till every tooth in my head falls out and I'm going to come into death. Because the devil ain't messing with the flow that's in this house. I'm here to tell you, I believe with all of my heart, that in these last days,
This place is going to be a fountain for the community and for those around about us that's going to come and receive healing and receive salvation. I believe it, church. That's why it's imperative that I preach you this message today, that we cannot lose that anointing and that flow. We cannot lose that flow and that anointing. Tell you, there's some wells in your lives that you need to redig.
Yes.
There's some of you that once had the Spirit of God moving in your life, and you've allowed things, you've allowed the Philistines, you've allowed the devil to block them and to stop them and to keep the flow from moving through your life. Can I tell you that sometimes it comes in little ways? The Bible tells us that little foxes spoil the vine, and there's some things in our life before we know it's got our well stopped up, when the flow is no longer moving, and sometimes that comes through hurts. Sometimes that comes through resentment. Sometimes that comes through jealousy. Sometimes that comes through just not understanding the circumstances. And I'm almost there, but I'm here to tell you the devil is the culprit that brings resentment. He brings things that you don't understand, and then he cultures them and he makes them grow. Can somebody hear what the Spirit is saying in this house today? When you've got something wrong with you, they will take a blood test. They'll take it down to the lab. They'll add some stuff to it to see if it grows. Can I tell you, the devil will put resentment, hate, he'll put anger, he'll put strife in your life. He'll take it to his lab and he'll make it culture, and then he'll put it back in you, and he'll cause the flow. He'll stop the flow from going through your life. Oh, glory.
Come on. Yes.
Ezekiel tells us, and you all are already going there, you're almost there, chapter 47. Ezekiel tells us that the Lord brought him to the house of God. And in the temple, there was water flowing from the north to the south and from the east to the west. The temple water was flowing out. I got something to share with you. You guys got the time?
Yeah.
I got something to share with you. God began to open up my mind concerning this passage of Scripture I ain't ever seen before. And if you think I'm crazy, just go ahead and write it down, telling everybody I'm crazy. I don't care. But I believe God that spoke to my heart concerning this. I want you to listen, evaluate it, see what the Spirit says to you. He said he brought me to the out by the way of the north gate and led me around to the outside to the outer gate by the way that faces the east. Behold, water was running out on the right side. Verse 3. And when the man went to the eastward, and he measured a line in his hand, and he measured 1,000 cubits, and he caused me to pass through the water, water that was about to my ankles. That's where you can navigate on your own. Hello? And again he measured and passed through the waters, and it reached my knees. And again he measured again, and he reached to his loins. And then he measured again, and it became a river. Somebody say a river. A river that he could not pass through. You know why? Because he was in the current. That I could not pass through. Waters to swim in. A river that could not pass over or through. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? That he led me and caused me to return to the banks of the river. Okay, he was bringing him to a place that he could see more clearly what was going on, what was happening.
Right.
Are you ready? God has a river that he wants to flow in you, through you, and out of you to reach your community and your neighborhood. Are you ready? Now, when I had returned, behold, the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. Get the picture, okay? Get the picture. It's at the banks of the river, there was trees on every side. Then he said to me, these are waters poured out toward the eastern region and go down into the Jordan Valley, where it was, and into the Dead Sea. Several of us that's in this room, not too many years ago, about 2018, we was there at the Dead Sea. Not much to look at, right? Other than you never seen it before. But the waters flowed into the Dead Sea. Get that. And when they shall enter into the sea, the sea, the Dead Sea, stinks. It's putrid. It's salty. But it said when these rivers run into the Dead Sea, the sea that is putrid, the sea that has rotten matter in it because there's no outflow. If y'all knew what I was going to say, you'd like this a lot more than you are. It says, when it flows into those putrid waters, they shall be healed and made fresh. Somebody say fresh.
Fresh.
Okay, you ready? And wherever the double river shall go, every living creature which swarms, shall live. And there shall be a great number of fish, because these waters go there, and the waters of the sea may be healed and made fresh. And everything shall live wherever the river goes. Verse 10, the fishermen shall stand on the banks of the Dead Sea, there in that particular place, and shall place a spread nets, and their fish shall be of every kind, and the fish of a great of the Mediterranean Sea. Can I just stop there for just a minute and tell you this is what God showed me? We are that river that flows. We are going to a world that is dead and lost without God. Come on, somebody, listen to me. We're going to a world that is lost and dead and without God. And when the Spirit of God works through your life and in your life, and it flows out, they are made to live. I said they are made to live because the Spirit of God is in you and working through you. Glory to God. Somebody get a hold of that. They are those waters. This river is alive inside of us. I said, this river, that's why it's so mightily important. You cannot allow your life to be controlled by things that you find resentful, and you cannot be controlled by anger. You've got to let it go and let God take care of it. Let God handle it, because that flow has got to go through your life, because we're flowing out into a world that's dead. But when your river flows into your part of the dead world, it's going to come alive. Did not Jesus go to disciples and tell them, you once fished for bass and crappie, but now you are going to fish for men? Is that not what he said? Come on, church. Is that not what he said? I will make you fishers of men. And he uses the analogy in Ezekiel. You, the fishermen, are going to stand on the seashore, and that which goes into that salty, messed up ocean, they are going to be pure and going to be healing. I'm telling you, church, somebody has got the gift of healing in this place, and the Spirit of God's moving through you. You're going to see people saved. You're going to see people healed, because we refuse to allow the flow to be ceased or stopped up in our lives. My. Look at that. It's just 9:45 in Colorado. Okay, here. Verse 11. But its swamps and its marshes will not become wholesome for animal life. They shall, as the rivers subside, be left encrusted with salt and given over to it. It means that there are those that are going to refuse to hear what you've got to say. There are those who once had the flow of the anointing flowing through their lives. But you now, if you're not careful and you don't get rid of that stuff that's stopping up your wells, hear me, if you don't get rid of that stuff stopping up your wells, you're going to become a swamp and a marshland. Can I tell you, the swamps and the marshland have water in them, but there is no life. If you don't flow with God, we will become a swampland and a marsh. Did y'all get that? There may be water in them, but there is no life. We must have life. We must flow in His glory and not resist His direction. I mentioned to you a while ago. And like the children of Israel, as Moses led them, it was imperative that they followed the cloud, which was the glory of God. Remember Bishop talking about that? Following the glory. Remember when I preached on from glory to glory? We must have God setting us up. I said, God's setting you up. I said, God's setting you up. He's giving you a place and a position to get rid of all that. Hello? Get rid of all that stuff in your life. Is my battery going dead? I don't think so, because I'm about ready to preach another hour and a half. You need to hear this. Hey, we didn't get started until 10:30 anyway. And I appreciate the move of presence of God. I do. Like Moses and the children of Israel, they had to follow the cloud, the glory of God. On the banks of the river and on both sides, there shall fall all kinds of tree for food. There's people going to come to you hungry. I'm not talking about physically necessarily, but spiritual hunger. Hey, I'm still in Ezekiel. Okay, I'm still in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse number 12. And on the banks of the river and on both sides there shall grow all kinds of trees for fruit. Their leaves shall not fade, nor shall their fruit fail. Because there is a demand. There's people that's hungry for the things of God. And because their waters were coming out from the sanctuary. Did you hear me? Some of you fell asleep when I stomped my foot. Scared you to death. Because their waters, your waters, doesn't come from just any place. You didn't get it out of a faucet. You didn't get it out of a natural river. But because their waters came out of the sanctuary, their fruit shall be food and their leaves shall be healing. God's got something for you, church. But you're going to have to flow in the anointing. Listen, there's life. God put life in you. Your mouth, your hands, and your feet are to give God praise and give God glory. When we do that, it shows life. But there's a river flowing through and there's a river flowing out. God wants you to be free and flowing to worship and praise for His goodness and His glory. I'm closing. This is so necessary that you understand. Okay? Are you with me?
Yes.
We give me about 10, 15 more minutes. This is vitally important. Things that you probably hadn't heard before or you've read and passed over. God's given you a spirit of life. It's that life-giving water. And because it flows out of the sanctuary of God. But there is a spirit in our world today that is ravishing the streets of our country. It's ravaging our schools. And it's ravishing our churches. And we must be keenly aware. It's why I feel like God laid this on my heart. Because if we're not aware, we're destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. We must be aware. All those things I preach to you will make you shout. But right now, it's got to make you aware so you can shout. Okay? There is a spirit in our world today. And it is a spirit of murder. It is the opposite of life. I told you about life. But the opposite of life is murder. We can kill each other with our words. And we can perhaps destroy somebody because of those things that we put together. Because we are down on ourselves and on others, we murder the flow that should live within inside of us. We stop that flow because we have that murderous spirit of trying to destroy and trying to hurt not only ourselves but others. But therefore, church, we must rebuke and we must come against that spirit of murder. Division You say, oh, okay, well, I ain't there yet, okay? A lot of us, we have sung this song so long that we don't know any other song. And it goes like this. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. How many knows that song? Way too many that I'm not comfortable with. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. That has ingrained in the church world today. You, children of God, have been worry warts. Anxiety has held you captive. You have been wronged, and bitterness has taken your life. I said bitterness has taken. Listen to me, church. God's Spirit spoke to my heart. You need to hear this. You're angry. You're mad. You're busted and disgusted. You have ceased to love, and you have ceased to live. You're stagnated. You've become and dried up as an old marshland. Murky waters may still be there in your life, but there is no life. It's just there. Listen, church. Listen, it's more serious than you think.
Yes, it is.
There is a spirit that's trying to hamper and trying to clog up your well. I said, listen, we are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. A knowledge. You know, we wonder sometimes why things ruffle our feathers. You ever had people ruffle your feathers? You know what that is, don't you? That's a foo-foo bird. It's a bird that flies backwards and always got their feathers all in uproar. We sometimes wonder why. We wonder why we get so easily upset sometimes. It's because we have allowed that spirit of murder to slip into our lives and clog up the well, and it's not flowing, and we can't see clearly. I got something to help you. If somebody comes to you and wants to talk about somebody else and accuse them of something, tell them, just wait a minute. So that person's not here to defend themselves, so let me go get them. And let's talk about it. Not going to let somebody talk about you if you're not there to defend yourself. Hello? Well, that's good preaching. That's almost dinner time. Cain killed his brother Abel.
Yes, he did.
Okay. Now, I ain't going to make this in 10 minutes. Are y'all all right with that?
Yeah.
That's three or four. The rest of you just have to endure. Job, listen, Job chapter 41, verse number 8. Can you pull in Leviathan with a fish hook? Or tie down his tongue with a rope? Leviathan. Can you put a cord through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? You'll understand this in just a minute. Will he keep begging you for mercy? Will he speak to you with gentle words? Will he make an agreement with you? Will you take him as your slave for life? Can you put a pet of him make a pet of him like a bird, or put a leash on him for your girls? Will traders barter for him? Will they divide him up among the merchants? Can you fill his hide with harpoons or his head with fish spears? If you lay a hand on him, verse number 8, if you lay a hand on him, you will remember the struggle and you'll never do it again. Leviathan represents the spirit of lies and deception,
right,
and murder. That's not just a mythical tale. Several places in the scripture talks about the spirit of Leviathan. It represents, it's real. It's real. It represents, this is what we're fighting against. Okay? You were shouting a while ago. No, don't leave me, okay? The spirit of Leviathan works in our world today and even in the church world, and that's why it's so imperative that we're aware of these things, and in the name of Jesus, we allow that flow to continue in our lives, out of our lives, and we keep him out of the church. It represents the force of chaos. The Bible speaks of the Leviathan as a strong and fierce marine spirit that is king over the children of pride. His main objective, listen, this is a real spirit, just like the devil. You can look this up and find the verification. He's a sea serpent demon. Okay, so Job was talking about him. I don't mean to get so deep that you sink with him, okay? I want you to understand. His main objective is to stop the ministry of deliverance. He also is out to stop the anointing from flowing and block the Spirit of God from moving in your life and in our services. Leviathan, described as a dragon that provokes fear and intimidation in the heart of people. His fierce presence, no man can tame. That's what verse 8 said. Only God can tame and conquer him. I don't know if you don't understand this or not, but the spirit of Leviathan is out to kill you by stopping the flow of God in your life. He's trying to kill the glory of God. You have been walking in from our revival. And when the flow gets dammed up, we aren't happy. And that Leviathan of the Spirit don't worry or don't want nobody to be happy. We cannot allow the spirit of Cain to come into our midst. But we must follow God's glory, walking in the anointing of Almighty God and the blood of the Lamb that keeps that river flowing. I'll let you give you just a capture of this. I'll let you read Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 18. And this is what we cannot allow come into our church. And it is a spirit of cannibalism. I'll let you read that and come get back to me on that, okay? That's what the spirit of Leviathan wants to bring, is a spirit of cannibalism to where there's division and strife within the church. Oh, that God will give me an opportunity in the spirit realm to slap the far out of the devil back to the gates of hell where he come from. We are the children of God, and that spirit must flow through our lives. I'm closing. Go ahead and stand. It'll make you feel better. I'm closing. We've had church, but I'm giving you stuff you need to know. We cannot afford. Nobody wants to be contrary to the things of God, do we? No. Nobody wants to have a bad or evil spirit. You say, why are you preaching this? Because I don't want Leviathan to slip into this place. Okay. You know why you buy something that's all in 100 different pieces? You know why they give you an instruction manual to put they put in there? I said, so you'll know. I said, so you'll know. You'll know how it goes together and you know how it works. Isaiah said, this is what he's going to do to the spirit of Leviathan. Isaiah 27, 1 through 3. In that day, the Lord will punish with his sword his fierceness, great and powerful sword. Leviathan, that gliding serpent. Leviathan, that coiling serpent. He will slay the monster of the sea. In that day, sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. That's the anointing. And the Spirit of God and the river that flows into your life. Anybody smarter right now than they was before they come? Huh? It ain't me. It's him. So you need to be aware of Leviathan. But do not fear him. Do not let him intimidate you. Because God said in Isaiah, I will replenish the water daily. So in your life, that daily flow must come in you and out of you. And make that complete circle that we may be all that God has for us to be. Glory. I don't want you to be a cistern. I want you to be a river. Heavenly Father, we give you praise. We give you glory in this house. Lord, I pray that you'll stir up our intellect. Stir up our spiritual man. Lord, let us be aware that we stand guard for our souls, but also for our brothers and our sisters. And Lord, for this church, that it may be the lighthouse. Lord, that it may be the river that Ezekiel talked about, where the strong trees of men grow on either side. And as souls come in, Lord, that they are rescued, they are fed, and they're delivered and they're healed. Lord, we look to you, O God. It can only happen through you. Bless your people. Lord, I love them, and I know you love them more than I do. God, I ask you, Lord, that you'll just put your loving arms around about them. Let us hide in your pavilion, and underneath your wings, Lord, we gain strength. Let the river flow in Jesus' name. Will somebody join with me and say, Lord, let the river flow.
Let the river flow.
Lord, let the river flow.